What's going on, everyone? It's been a long time. We have missed you. We're back, Three in the Key podcast, from our extended all-star break. Turned it into a three-week break for us. A lot of life changes going on, but myself, Rai Chai, that's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. I'm back. Who else is back is the beautiful man sitting across from me, MD. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. During this break, a lot has happened. Got a new job, starting at a big pharma company. Loving it. Team's super cool. Selling drugs now. Supplying the world with medical aesthetics, Botox, Juvederm. Shout out. If you have wrinkles, I can take them away from you. Don't worry, I got you. If you want your cheeks lifted, I got you. If you want bigger lips, I got you.
I would like my cheeks lifted. People have said I have a small butt. Do you do those type of cheek lifts, or we're just talking face lifts?
I think we're just talking face. I don't know. I'm still learning. I mean, this is day 10 officially at the new place, so I'm still learning, and I will definitely look into cheek lifts in front of you. Like, do you want an increase in size, or you just want it lifted?
More size, definitely the mass.
Okay.
I'd like to have like a Kyle Lowry like.
Oh dang, backside. Bro. Get that post game going. Let's go.
Absolutely, try and nutmeg people with my actual body instead of with the ball for some reason.
Just got that bounce.
Shouts to Kyle Lowry. Well, since we've been gone, MD, a lot has happened. I believe our last episode we left off, we were previewing the All-Star game that was getting ready to take place, and we did like a little mock draft and talked about what we thought was going to happen. Well, all that is in the past now, and the...
Oh, by the way, I would like to say our mock drafts were surprisingly accurate.
Really? We'll have to go back and look at it. We probably should have done it before recording, but we'll take your word for it. It was surprisingly accurate, so I guess that's a testament to us being great drafters. I don't know. But the result
to us being in the mind of the players. We understand Giannis and LeBron like no other. So that's why you need to listen to this podcast.
We are in sync, very in sync, like the band. So what happened in the All-Star game, like everyone already knows, but to really humor us and help us get back in the flow, we're going to recap a little bit. Team LeBron came out on top, 157-155, won by two, and they ended up winning on a free throw. It was pretty controversial in the sense that some people really hated it. But I was a big fan of the overall format where they played three quarters, tallied up the total, the individual quarter scores. If whoever won that particular quarter, that team's charity got X amount of dollars. I forget how much it was like $100,000 each quarter it was?
It was $100,000 each quarter.
So I think Team LeBron won a quarter, Team Giannis won one, and I think they tied one, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's and then the overall team that wins gets like an extra 50, gives an extra 50K or something to the charity.
Right, something like that. But what I really liked about that format is it did address a lot of the lack of competition throughout the beginning part of the game. Because if you remember, in one of the quarters when it was really close, the coach called a timeout to drop a play in like the first quarter or the second quarter or something like that before halftime. Whereas in previous years, that would never happen. They'd be like, oh, just play through it. Like no one really cares until the fourth quarter anyways. But a lot of that competition issue was addressed, and it was cool to see that competitive fire. Like the players were drawing at each other, drawing at the refs. Refs were getting heat.
I know. Refs were getting so much heat for an All-Star game. That was crazy.
They had to have not expected that. I mean, if I was a ref, I'd be like, what the heck? I thought this was going to be easy. Now LeBron's yelling at me. Chris Paul's yelling at me.
Yeah. Well, when does that not happen? Chris Paul yells at everyone.
And that was the beauty of the format changes. We got to see real NBA basketball with all the personalities and the competitive fire in an All-Star game. So that was really, really cool. And then we had the epic fourth quarter showdown.
That was so cool. Really cool. So good.
My only gripe was it ended on a free throw. I think they could tweak that. Maybe maybe no
win by
free
two
throws
then maybe?
At the end. I don't know.
I don't, yeah, how do you tweak that? Do you know what I mean, though? Like, if it's a certain score that you play up to, just like when we play pickup, like, if someone wins on a layup, you still technically win, right?
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it's like, I know people are upset that, okay, maybe the game ended on a free throw, but that happens all the time. It's just like, think about how many times Kobe's hit clutch free throws, LeBron's hit clutch free throws. That technically ends the game. It's just the fact that there was no time after, or there was like no 0.1 second to make it seal the game for them to add to that drama. But I think ending on a free throw is great. And to me, going beyond just like all-star basketball, it goes beyond to the fundamentals to me, like letting kids know that, hey, like this game can end on free throws. Free throws are still important. It brings back the basics and the fundamentals of basketball, which
point.
I know you and I are big fans of. We play all the time in the gym right now. And I mean, we sound like old guys that are complaining, but literally we play with kids that are like 15 to 22 and not only are they more energetic, but they don't even use that energy. They just jump, run from free throw line to free. I mean, 3-point line to 3-point line and just chuck threes. And it's like changed the game a lot, you know? So trying
practice
to bring it exactly, bringing it back to the basics, I think will be great.
Definitely. So yeah, Team LeBron pulled that one out. I think Team LeBron is now undefeated since the team captain format change of the All-Star game. So interesting fact there, LeBron continues to do his thing. Also, since our last podcast, the Lakers have played a good amount of games. They have played 6 games. They're actually in the middle of their 7th right now as we record against the 76ers, where it's early in the second quarter. They're down 7, so we'll see where that goes. But the Lakers have gone 5-1 since the break, and not too many significant games, with the exception of the game against Boston. I think it was about a week ago now, maybe 2. But we got a big win in LA against Boston.
Right.
Granted, they didn't have Kemba, but that was just a win we needed to have because we got spanked on MLK Day, if you remember, when we were so confident we were going to win.
You and I were watching that game together.
I do remember that.
Yeah, it was so bad.
So yeah, definitely a significant win against Boston. Glad we pulled that one out. And then just to kind of give some recap into where we are standings-wise, the Lakers are still first in the West, and we're pretty significantly ahead of the rest of the field. We're currently 5 games up from second-place Clippers. And as far as it pertains to the whole league, Milwaukee seems to have a stranglehold on that top spot. They're 5 games ahead of the Lakers for the number one overall record in the entire league. So it doesn't seem like there's going to be that much change taking place as far as the Lakers standing wise. It looks like we're going to have the best record in the West, but not have home court advantage through the finals if we were to make it that far. But Lakers are doing well, taking care of business. And moving along, as we get a little bit closer to the postseason, I'm excited to see when that finally does happen. So, MD, let's go ahead and transition now into our first key. The Lakers are looking to make a little bit of roster changes, so letting some people go and possibly bringing in some more. So let's talk about that. So like I mentioned before break, MD, Lakers are shaking things up a little bit. Nothing too significant, but we are looking to bring on an additional piece and getting prepared for a postseason run. And as a result, we said goodbye to Mr. Troy Daniels. So we shed a little bit of a tear there. Obviously, he wasn't a key contributor by any stretch of the imagination, but he was one of the best dressed Lakers. I'll give him that. I always looked forward to seeing what type of fit he was rocking before the game, because he's always looking really good. Made me feel insecure about what I was wearing on a nightly basis. I don't know. What are your thoughts on seeing him leave? You feel like it was the right thing to do?
If only his game matched the way he looked before the game.
Oh,
just as nice, just as pretty. Nah, bro. I'm not shedding a tear. I'm like, I understand he wasn't happy because he wasn't getting enough playing time. So it was definitely, it was definitely amicable and mutual in the way that we both broke up so that he can hopefully go to a contender or another team where he can get more playing time. I know he's a little bit younger and really wants to develop and become one of those key guys on another team, but it's not going to happen on the Lakers. He wasn't consistent enough. Now, I'd be sad if he was a great shooter and he was leaving, but also if he was a great shooter, he would get a lot more playing time than he does, and he would deserve and command more playing time. And he doesn't. He didn't provide any value. So I'm like, all right, later. See you, bro. Bring on Markieff Morris. I don't know about Deion or J.R. Smith. Honestly, I don't. To me, they're all the same. They're all going to be the same as Trey Daniels.
Troy Daniels. If he was more efficient from three, yeah, we could call him Trey Daniels. Here's his stats that he accumulated throughout the season. He shot 39% from three. So respectable, but not like that absolute sniper from outside that I think we were expecting him to be. He averaged 4.2 points a game and only 11 minutes a game, so he wasn't really being utilized all that much unless it was like a blowout or there's an injury and we need to lean on him kind of heavily, or unless he got hot or something like that. So we're really not going to be missing him. It is funny, ironically, I do remember before the season started, I terribly predicted that he was going to lead the Lakers in three-point shooting. That was one of my bold predictions.
Said he was going to be like one of the breakouts.
Yeah. I watched like a mini mix on him and I was like, ooh, this guy can shoot. Like, all right, we're gonna have a nice three-point shooter on the perimeter for us. And it just obviously did not work out. So RIP to that prediction, RIP to Troy Daniels on the Lakers.
He got cut. I knew he was going to get cut. The play we watched, I forget against what team, but he did not pass to the GOAT Caruso on that 2-on-1. Instead, he took the wide open three instead of throwing it up for Caruso. Or not even a wide open three, the guarded three instead of throwing the oop to Caruso. And once that happened, I was like, you're going to get cut. Bye.
I do remember that. They were on like a 2-on-1 fast break, and the defender decided to close on Troy Daniels, leaving a wide open Caruso cutting
the basket.
He closed
early too. It wasn't like a last minute close. It was a very early close.
Yeah. And then he just pulls up from three on a fast break, which sums up modern NBA if it doesn't do anything else. But yeah, you gotta lob that to Caruso, the GOAT. Come on now. So Troy Daniels is out. Like you mentioned just a second ago, MD, the Lakers are looking to fill that roster spot. Obviously, the intention in waiving Troy Daniels is to replace him with someone else who makes a little bit more sense going forward. And the two names that have emerged very quickly and the Lakers have, I believe, already worked out are J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters. I believe both J.R. Smith, of course, but Dion Waiters also, doesn't he have experience playing with LeBron as well? As J.R. Smith does?
He got cut when he was in Cleveland, but then he got moved down to Miami because I don't think Dion Waiters and LeBron mesh that well, because Waiters needs the ball in his hand a lot to succeed and needs to kind of quote-unquote be the guy. Remember, he was originally from OKC, and then he got moved from OKC to Cleveland, and then from Cleveland to Miami, and then Miami had that, like, magical run. But that's all because of Coach Spo, not really because of Dion Waiters. Mm-hmm. And they're doing so well now. But quick fact, I just looked up Markieff Morris's three-point percentage, and he's shooting 39.7% from three-point percentage. Wow. So I gladly trade Markieff Morris for Troy Daniels any day.
Yeah, and you're definitely getting more size, too.
More size, so. More defense, does something other stuff other than shoot threes, like – and he's reunited with his brother and can live in L.A. with him again.
Yeah, I saw this post on Instagram. It was like a fictional conversation between LeBron and Pelinka. And LeBron's like, Rob, go get Morris for us. We need him. And Pelinka's like, I got you. And goes out and brings back Markieff and not Marcus. And LeBron's like, yo, where's Marcus at? He's like, you didn't say Marcus. You just said go get Morris. And I heard someone's analysis on that. It's like the equivalent of telling your mom to go get Fruit Loops from the store and she comes back with like the Fruit Rings instead. Oh, you know, it's just like the knockoff brand. But Markieff Morris he's a serviceable player. So like right. You said, he's still an upgrade from Troy Daniels as it pertains to fitting in with our roster.
Well, originally starting in the league, wasn't Markieff the better brother? And then recently, Marcus has just become the better brother of the two.
I honestly don't know. I haven't kept too close of tabs on them, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're not. I mean, yeah, like on paper, like I guess their stats show that Marcus is better, obviously, but they're not like that drastically different, you know, like for what they're getting paid, at least. I know Marcus is getting paid a lot more. It doesn't really make sense for the Lakers to bring him on. Like,
and it's a 1-year deal right now.
For who? For Marcus? Yeah, it is. It is. So I'll ask you this, MD, between J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters, or Other.
Just leave it open, Blinka. Just leave it blank. Just pray that Darren Collison changes his mind or something. Just leave it. That, I think, is one other thing we need to talk about. I know we probably had this in the key later, but Darren Collison not coming was a huge hit for us. I know we were both very excited, both excited to have another ball handler and defender, wing defender, and someone that can shoot pretty decent and run an offense. But unfortunately, he's not here. Decided to stay retired, which is unfortunate. But you know what? I'd rather pick Other than between those two. I mean, I don't think either one is going to get playing time unless the GOAT gets injured or someone gets injured, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I also am in the Other camp. If I absolutely had to choose between J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters, I would probably lean Dion.
Same.
Because I think he would bring more defensively in addition to some shooting.
He has a chance to go off for 20. An actual chance to go off for 20 and be a main guy for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And he's got an edge to him, which I think you need on a playoff team for sure. I don't know if the Lakers currently have that outside of LeBron and AD.
Caruso. I feel like Caruso has a kind of an edge where he doesn't care, you know?
Right, but he's not like crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
we need Dennis Rodman, Ron Artest.
Like, most championship teams have, like, that crazy guy who doesn't care.
Who was the crazy guy before Ron Artest? Trevor Ariza?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Sasha
maybe? Yeah.
Okay, then who is the other one? Mark Madsen?
Nah.
Not Mad Dog?
Not Mad Dog. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah, like everyone has
defender,
has
chip
someone
on their shoulder, the guy. Like, Boston, when they won, it was KG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or for Golden State, obviously, with Draymond. You just need someone who's willing to just get in the mix. And that's why I believe Marcus Morris is a really good addition for the Clippers. It's not so much of his production. Yes, that is important, of course. But, like, he fits their mentality of, like, just
underdog.
Playing rough.
Yeah.
The Patrick Beverley mentality.
Right.
And the Lakers need that because we got the glitz and the glamour of two of the best players in the league, like two top 10 players easily on our roster. But you need someone who's willing to get mixed up and stuff like that. So that's kind of why I would lean Dion, but I'm with you. Let's wait. I think that we shouldn't be in a rush. I don't know when the exact deadline is to sign someone to fill our spot. I was trying to look that up right now, but got distracted. But yeah, I would be patient for sure. Yeah, I'll end this particular section off with this. Are there any characteristics, MD, that you value over others that we should be looking for in filling this spot? Like, is it shooting? Is it defense? What are we looking for?
Our rough guy on our team is Jared Dudley.
True.
Yeah.
True.
He he doesn't play, but he also doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
He's openly said, like, my job is to be a good locker room guy and to screw with anyone that tries to screw with LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And AD.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's going to actually be on the floor when it matters, you know?
True. Well, I don't think JR is ever going to be on the floor ever again when it matters after his snafu.
Oh my gosh. I still can't believe that happened. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Leave the spot open, Plinka. Don't rush it, man.
Yeah.
Do
take
not
your
rush
time.
It.
I'd like, seriously, I would rather pick like some G League kid and see if he can play and get some good minutes. Oh, you know who I'd rather pick up? And Andre Ingram. Remember him, that old guy?
Our G League star?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That could hit threes. Like, he had like a few 20-point games a while back.
Yeah, at the end of the season when yeah. we were just
I would rather pick him up if we need a shooter than either one of those guys.
Yeah, this is the time of the season where you just start to fall in love with names. It's like, ooh, J.R. Smith, like, he can really shoot. Or, oh, Deion Waiters, like, he was a really good player before he OD'd on gummies. You know, it's like, but it's like, you can't, I don't think anyone's going to come into this and fill this slot for us that's really going to move the needle all that much. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason why these players are still on the market. It's not like you're going to sign someone and they're going to have this magical run. Then they're going to help to lead us to a championship off the bench. Very unlikely. Not impossible, but very unlikely. So you kind of got to temper expectations for sure on these. So we'll see what happens going forward. But it is interesting to see some of these moves shake out. Really quickly before we move on, Markieff Morris, I know we talked about him a little bit. I personally haven't really kept close tabs on all the value, I guess, he's brought so far. Like, I'd have to really, like, analyze what's happening when he is on the court. But nothing's jumping out to me, I'll say that. When LeBron goes to the bench, there's still a huge void that's there. He's not, you know, replacing any of that or anything like that. The only thing I will note is I feel like him coming off of the bench is helping Kuz to play a more natural position. Mm-hmm. So that Kuz can be more comfortable playing at, like, a three, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is he a three? And then Markieff is going to the four. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive. I think there can be good that comes from that if they get into a rhythm. But, yeah, I really don't see, you know, Markieff moving the needle all that much.
Same. I feel like this was a move more for defensive purposes because Kuzma was getting destroyed on the block.
Yes.
Like, they were singling out Kuzma on defense.
Yes. Remember
repeatedly.
Westbrook? When Westbrook went off and destroyed us.
It's like, this is what I'm saying. Kuzma is Beasley. Like, he will be a great scorer, can go off, will randomly get 20 points and can have, like, five games, 20 points, then will just disappear for, like, 10 games straight. But when he goes off, he goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always a threat to go off, so he'll command attention, but on the same end, it doesn't matter if he goes off, if he lets the other guy, Westbrook, whoever, score 50. Like, there's no point.
You know? Right, right. So hopefully Markieff grows into a role where he is taking that burden away from Kuz, and we don't have to rely on Kuz to, you know, get tall with these big guys who are just taking advantage of him.
Well, it was forcing Bron to play defense on the bigger guys and having Kuzma. Because Kuzma couldn't handle a four, so Bron would have to come down and handle power forward. But then he's so tired on defense, because he actually has to play defense for once.
Yep.
And play against the bigs, that it's eating him up on the offensive end. He's not doing anything, and he's taking threes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I think Markieff is going to help a lot. I do like the rotation. I know Frank Vogel is still playing with the rotation, so once that kind of finalizes, we'll see. But I just hope also that Boogie comes back next season. I mean, he can't get mad, like, bro, we held on to you for such a long time for you to recover. There's no way you're playing this season. Maybe you come back on a one-year deal, because I don't think Dwight's going to stay for another year. He's so good now. You know?
Yeah. We're doing Boogie a solid. I think you saw this, but we were allowing Boogie to continue to rehab with us while not being on the team. So that's cool. And it had to have made sense for Boogie. Like, he couldn't have expected to remain on our salary while not doing anything. And we have expectations to make a deep run, and our roster isn't where we want it to be. So I think the writing was on the wall for it to happen. Some people just thought it'd be kind of messed up if we did waive him, but it just makes sense. So,
well, he's still rehabbing, and for him to still say, I want to rehab at the Lakers,
means
he gets along well with the guys.
Exactly.
He loves Rondo and AD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's going to be a Laker next season, to be honest. So I'm not worried about it.
It'll be interesting to see, for sure, for sure. All right, so let's go ahead and transition into our next key MD and talk about this upcoming schedule that the Lakers have, because it is significant. This upcoming month Well, we'll start with this week. This week, the Lakers are playing Philly, which is tonight. So by the time this goes up, we'll know if the Lakers won that game or not, which right now they're winning pretty handily in the third quarter, 77-62. AD is going off. He has 29 points already, so solid. But after this game tonight, the Lakers on Friday play Milwaukee. So the two best teams in the league are matching up. Huge game for us because we did not do well against them the first time we played. And then on Sunday, round three with the Lakers and Clippers. The reason why these games are so big, in my opinion, and I talked to you about this earlier, MD, the Lakers are accumulating wins and they're doing so consistently, which is why we have the second best record in the league. But as of right now, they're lacking a resume of quality wins. You know, it's March Madness coming up, and you hear about that when teams are making, we're trying to make a case for a team for getting in. You look at the resume of the win, the quality of the wins, the strength of schedule. And the Lakers, while they have wins, they don't have a very impressive resume for the teams that they've beaten consistently.
Right.
And this week and this month will be a really good litmus test to see whether or not we are legit contenders and we're ready now to make that push.
I think we're on the same page. I know we talked about this before while we were creating content for the pod. But does this, to me, like, I'm thinking of it as not maybe necessarily impressive wins, but to me, the Lakers have more impressive losses. And when I may say impressive losses, I'm saying they have more of an impression on the Lakers, who they are and how people view them, than their wins do at this point. Because there are a lot of should be wins, and that comes with being a championship contender. That's the weight that you bear. And so bearing that weight, they have definitely had more impressive losses with teams like the Clippers, Bucks, these championship caliber teams around the league consistently beating us and beating us by a large margin. I think the closest game that we saw was the Celtics game that we won, and the Clippers game on Christmas Day that was very close. But other than that, we've been dominated. And those impressive losses are hurting our resume and making us as fans worry. Yes, we know we should be getting out of the first round of the playoffs against Ja Morant. Like, that's expected. Yes, maybe we should be getting out of the second round against Houston or whoever. We've definitely beat Houston before, even though they're hot. But when it becomes to the Western Conference Finals and the finals, when it really matters, I don't know. Like, if we face the Clippers, I honestly don't know. They're so good. Even if we beat the Clippers then, I don't know we lost to Toronto. We're split right now 1-1 with Boston. And we lost to the Bucks. And we lost to the Bucks by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Big three games. I know you and I will be watching them closely, all three. I know tonight, Philly, we were watching, but at the same time, Embiid and Ben Simmons are both out.
Yep.
And you and I are both talked about. Philly is a decent win, but to me, they're not a championship contender team.
No. I could very easily see Philly lose before the conference finals.
Easy.
Like, they're that type of team where you could convince yourself that they make a run, then you can convince yourself they lose in the first round because they just fall apart, you know?
They underachieve, right. And they're going to lose. They're not a contending team. They haven't shown that. And so, contending teams, we have impressive losses. I'm scared. We'll see. End of the week.
Let me read you their upcoming schedule up until about the end of the month. Bucks, Clippers, Nets, Rockets, Nuggets, Jazz again, Hornets, Pistons, Raptors, Cavs, Wizards, and the last game of the month, Timberwolves. So the last week of the month kind of eases up, but you can clearly see that we got some tough games coming up.
Right now. We're in the thick of it right now.
Yep,
all the tough games are happening in the next 2 weeks.
This is it. This is where the Lakers can really change the narrative for them having a bogus record. You know, like, there are a lot of people who are making legitimate cases that the Lakers haven't done enough to prove that they deserve to be championship favorites, which I think the Vegas odds currently have them being favorites behind, followed by the Clippers and maybe the Bucks or something like that. But we need to be able to come out and win a good amount of these to be able to change that narrative. And it'll be very, very interesting to see. And I think LeBron is starting to get that sense of urgency that, okay, it's time to start turning it on. Like, yes, it was okay to coast in the beginning a little bit, you know, pick and choose your battles, but, you know, be complacent and take threes when maybe you shouldn't, maybe you should be driving in. But these games, he's got to be very, very aggressive and know that we need him, because when he goes to the bench, production drops drastically. So when he's in, he's got to be aggressive. He's got to be going and attacking the rim. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be very exciting, to say the least.
Another point on that. I mean, yes, production is expected to drop off drastically. It should, right? LeBron is the best player in the league, or if not the top five best player in the league. So production is expected to drop off. To me, the bigger worry isn't about LeBron's drop off in production when he sits. To me, it's the worry that how come AD, who's a superstar in his own right, not mitigate that drop off? Do you know what I mean? Like, he was an all-star. He was so good in New Orleans. We saw him push other teams to the edge in New Orleans and just take over games when need be. And we have yet to see that AD. I don't know if it's the nagging injuries, everything that's going on. But to me, that's my biggest worry. And when LeBron is out, everyone knows the ball is supposed to go through AD. Like, the team is set around to be built around AD. I mean, Kuzma, who's not a big guy and he'll drive, but he's not going to stay in the post. So AD can work in the post. Same thing with Markieff Morris, can take the shot. Rondo, a point guard he's familiar with. Caruso, same thing. Another guy that will put AD first, let him eat first. There's no excuse for AD not to step up. And so to me, that's what I'm going to be looking at with these wins, especially because a lot of these teams that we're playing against, the Clippers and the Bucks, especially the Bucks, like, AD is going to be matched up against Giannis. How is he going to handle that? And if he can't handle that, I don't think we can win.
Yeah.
If Giannis is just going to manhandle AD, who else do we have to throw against him? LeBron? No way. No way. And then the Clippers, too. Kawhi is for sure going to match up against Bron. That's expected. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason why the Clippers got Kawhi. They love the matchup. But then PG, who's he going to guard? You know, and if AD gets stuck on him, why can he not? Like, Montrezl Harrell shouldn't be good enough to guard him. Patrick Beverley shouldn't be good enough to guard him. PG should not be good enough to guard him. And neither should Vince Zubats should be good enough to guard him either.
No way.
So what, or Marcus Morris be good enough. So what's the piece missing there? And how can AD kind of step up his game? We're seeing it tonight, but she should be stepping up with Ben Simmons and beat out. But where can he step up his game against these other contenders to prove to everyone that, hey, we're not just LeBron. It's LeBron and AD, and I can take over a game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to answer your question about, like, why hasn't AD been able to carry the offense like he did in New Orleans consistently? Because, yeah, there are nights where he does do it for the Lakers.
Right.
But there are also a lot of times when he is scoring, but they're still in these close games, or they lose a game here and there, like against Memphis. I don't think AD played in that game. But the reason I believe that happens is because we don't have a consistent scoring option outside of LeBron and AD. Like, it's just such a question mark that we don't even know where we're looking half the time. It's kind of just like we are hoping someone gets into a rhythm tonight, whether it's Danny Green, Caruso, or Kuz. Like, it's just one of those guys
or
Avery Bradley. That's true, which he doesn't get talked about a lot, but he's been playing well.
He has been playing really well, and he's been consistently averaging like 15 points, like every 2-3 games. Avery Bradley, 15 points.
Yeah,
and I'm like, thank you for helping out. Like, we need help on the offensive end.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's surprising because coming into the season, you didn't expect us to have to lean on him offensively. It was more just like his defensive presence and his approach to being able to lock someone up on the perimeter. But yeah, there have been games where he's had to score for us to stay in games or to win a game. And that's kind of a testament to where this roster is at. Like, we don't have that third piece that we can rely on night in and night out to just go out there and get a bucket, you know? So these games coming up are huge. I will say really quick before we go, before we close out this segment, the game against the Clippers is the most monumental game of this month. One, of course, it's the Clippers. It's our hallway rival.
Right.
But two, this is the third time we're matching up with them, and we've already lost the first two. Like I talked about changing the narrative earlier. For this game in particular, this game is going to determine a narrative for the Lakers going into the postseason. Because if we lose this game, we automatically lose the series because I think we play them one more time. So four games total. We lose this, we've lost three of the four. If we win, we can potentially tie the season series the next time we play. And going into the postseason, that does matter. Like that confidence, like, okay, yeah, they had our number in the beginning, the very first game, but we made it close the second one and we beat them the next two times. But if we lose three of the four games, then it's like, oh crap. Like,
what's happening?
They're probably the better team. Yeah. We need to find this extra gear so that we can surmount what they are in the postseason. So I'm really interested to see how the Lakers come out for that game because I feel like it's a playoff game before the playoffs happen. Like that game is must win, and I think it's going to be a crazy atmosphere.
It's always had that. Even Christmas Day was like that. Even the first game was like that. Whenever we play the Clippers, it has that kind of like you have those fuzzy eyes. Like it looks like a playoff game and the feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's exciting for fans, for us as fans. To me, it's I'm going to be looking at what has Frank and what has the coaching staff done, or LeBron or whoever, what have you done to adapt now? Like, this is the third time you've played them. Mm-hmm. What have you learned and how have you gotten better at it?
Yeah.
So the second game, Kawhi kind of pretty much took over. So how can we stop Kawhi now? He was so consistent. He was the one that kind of kept them afloat. The game was so close. So what do we need to do to stop Kawhi? Are they going to try stopping Kawhi? If they're not going to stop Kawhi, then how are we going to limit Lou Williams? So that's what I saw. Like the first game, opening night, we didn't lose because of Kawhi and stuff. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell took like destroyed us. So then I saw, okay, they adapted. Our team adapted. And guess what? Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell didn't have a crazy game, you know? They really didn't. I mean, they still scored, but it wasn't as impactful as it was previously. But Kawhi then stepped it up and was the consistent scoring figure. And he shot 11 for 17. It was like some ridiculous number where it was above 50%.
Right.
Like 60% shooting. And he hit some big threes. So now what is Frank and the coaching staff going to do to change that narrative now and really have the Lakers change on defense? Remember our narrative at the beginning of the season? What was it? Like defense, right?
Yeah.
We were always harping on, we were like top 10 defense, top 10 blocks, top 10 this, top 10 that. I think we're still in the top 10, but it's we're second defensively. Yeah. We're still in the top 10 defensively.
Third.
So yeah, we're still doing well, but teams are still scoring above 100 consistently above us.
105, yeah. Which, to be fair, the Bucks, who are leading the league defensively, are allowing 101. So no one in the league is allowing less than 100.
Less than 100, right. Because offensives, everyone's adapting. But it's like, what can we do to limit that and get even better? That's where we're going to improve. Defense wins championships. And how do we defensively stop the Clippers?
Yeah. And that really is the identity of this team. I mean, for better or worse, like when I talk about relaxing scoring, this team isn't built to win in a shootout. It's built to win defensively and ride the coattails of its two stars. And as frustrating as that is sometimes, because we're like, oh, we need a bucket, and LeBron's sitting and AD's resting this game. It's like, it's annoying watching coups, you know?
Yeah.
But defensively is where we're going to win a championship if it happens. So I look forward to seeing these games. I look forward to seeing what happens in the postseason down the road.
We should watch the game this Sunday. You free?
I am. I'm actually. I'm gonna watch it. I have a place where we're watching the game at. I'll tell you about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me know.
Okay, so let's go ahead and close this puppy out and make some predictions going into the rest of this week, and we'll wrap this baby up. So, like I mentioned earlier, we're playing Philly already tonight, and it looks like we're gonna win that one pretty handily. Lakers are currently up 93-74 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. The next two games, Friday against the Bucks and Sunday, the big one against the Clippers. So, MD, what is your prediction for those two games?
2-0.
2-0. All right. I like that. I give me 2-0 as well.
Yeah.
Give me 2-0.
This goes beyond our food bets right now. This is about confidence, instilling confidence in us as fans and in the team that they can beat contending teams.
Yeah.
That's what I care about more. We just need to get these wins. They're must wins in my eyes.
Agreed. Same. I think the Bucks game will be very close and a very they're both gonna be tough games. I put me down for the Clippers game being a plus 10
Oh,
win
difference.
difference.
Wow.
Yeah. Put me down for that. I think the Lakers are really, really, really motivated to win that game.
You think Marcus is gonna wear Markieff's jersey and be on the Lakers for a night?
They
Markieff is
just
gonna be on the
switch.
Clippers just to see how it is, you know? Or halftime, they
Yeah.
swap, no one will ever
Yeah,
know.
no one will know.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, just come over here. You
Yeah.
don't
Dude, I'm losing. Let me be on your team or switch
know.
with me.
Please.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's to them going 2-0. Let's hope and pray that that actually happens. All right. With that, MD, any closing remarks you'd like to make?
Go Lakers, Mamba forever.
Mamba forever. All right, guys. Thanks for listening in. We will talk to you guys next week back on a regular schedule. Have a good rest of the week. Go Lakers.